Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank. You know, it was a happy Tuesday from the moment I woke up this morning. I was just really looking forward to today. Gorgeous weather outside. I had a guest I was really excited about interviewing. Took off on Blue, my bike, rode to Avila from Rio Grande.
Just what color is your bike?
Blue. Hence the name Blue. And actually, I have New Blue and Old Blue. I have two of the exact same bikes that I alternate between, and they're cruiser bikes. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. So I take off on Blue and I'm riding my bike, enjoying the day. I go through Shell Beach and I'm enjoying the surf, send videos to my friends. Look how great the surf is. Get home, take a shower, thinking about the show and how nice this is. And just know that usually Tuesdays are fairly stressful because I'm really focused on what is our topic going to be, doing research, making sure I know my stuff and what I want to talk about. But today was one of those days where I had a guest that was going to know all of her stuff and that I wouldn't really need to do much but say, hello, tell me your story. So I go home, I take a shower, I play fetch with my kitten Lewis. As you know, Lewis plays fetch. So we play fetch for a long time. My hair turns out incredibly good. Check it out.
Very nice.
I know I'm having a great hair day, and I'm inside the studio, but that's okay. I'll enjoy a good hair day. And then my phone rings at 1:20, and it's my guest. And she's having car trouble and cannot make it to the studio. Now, should I have recognized that this was going to be what happened once, I don't know which part, the hair day, playing fetch, or the wonderful bike ride. At some point, should I not have stopped and thought,
something's got to go wrong here.
I should be thinking about the show. I should be putting some effort into, having some great wisdom today. But I just went with the universal flow and was feeling it.
So you're thinking if your hair was not as thick and lustrous as it turned out to be, then maybe the guest would have shown up?
Something like that. There was too many good things in a row and, something had to give. And so the ease of coming in today and just asking someone, hey, tell me your story, isn't going to be there. But I tend to be fairly flexible, I am good at working on my feet, and I always have a lot of things that I'm thinking about, so I'm never really at a loss for words, which is helpful, especially in this situation. But so I have some go-to ideas that I actually wanted to address this week anyway to follow up with last week's conversation, but I was just going to kind of let it go because we had such a wonderful guest. And I look forward to having Nancy Siegel back in a couple weeks because I think her story is very compelling. But I did have some go-to ideas that I wanted to throw out there and hear what people had to say about them. So in a way, from a therapeutic standpoint, I'm doing a reframe on my day. A reframe is a therapeutic term for looking at a situation that could be horrible, but finding a way to make it powerful, to change the way you look at it, and it turns out being something better. So I'm reframing my experience this afternoon and realizing, hey, I wasn't going to get to tackle these two topics this week, and now we get to. So are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. So the passing of David Bowie this week, so tragic, so young. And of course, the older I get, the younger 69 seems.
69 used to sound like, oh yeah, he had a good life. Yeah. But now that at least me and I believe you are in our 50s, so yes. That 69 doesn't sound that far away.
No, not far enough away. And so I've been thinking a lot about him and enjoying listening to music that I listened to growing up and listening to a lot of interviews. And the thing that stood out for me was, of course, everyone is remembering David Bowie for his music and his ability to reinvent himself and whatever, how they touch their lives at certain times. I mean, his career, basically his art, his career, his gifts that he gave to the world. But as a therapist, I couldn't help but think, is that what he would have wanted to be remembered as? I was especially listening to his interview with on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and she kept kind of pushing him about this certain, the glam era of rock. And I could feel in his voice that wasn't really what he wanted to be known for. I could tell that he was hesitant, didn't really want to go into that topic as much. He would address it, but he wanted to talk about more grander things. And also when I was hearing him talk about that, I thought, I wonder, though, if he would want to talk about the other parts of his life, like the family that he came from or his marriage, or would there be some other thing that he would want to be known for and not just for the David Bowie public persona. And so when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about all of our legacies. Like, how will all of us be remembered? I mean, we're not going to be David Bowie, so there won't be millions and millions of people affected. Maybe some of us will be, I don't know. But more than likely, we're just going to live, you know, a nice life. But how is it you'd like to be remembered? Like, if you were going to be interviewed by Terry Gross, or if there's an obituary that's going to be written by about you, what would you want it to say? What are the things that you're most proud of? Or how would you want to be remembered?
Well, speaking for myself, I avoid the spotlight at all costs. You know, I do not like to be especially in this moment. But no, I think if I'm remembered as a nice guy, that okay, Hank made me laugh sometimes. He seemed like a genuinely good person. He made me laugh. He never caused any harm. You know, I just kind of, you know, fly below the radar, but don't have anyone say anything too nasty about me. I mean, I just a good guy.
And what's the thing you're most proud of? You know, because it's going to say Hank Hadley, mm-hmm. and then some bio underneath it, right? Like, good guy, husband. I mean, like, what are going to be that thing? Beer lover.
Yeah, all those things. Mm-hmm. Good person, beer lover, good husband. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
Well, no, that's a good answer, but I think it is something important to think about, because we only have one trajectory on the planet. You know, we're only getting one shot around the world, or how many times around the world in our lifetime. And I think it's important to address what we'll be remembered for, because if there's something we'd like to be remembered for, if there's something that we would like to be known for or have stood out in our lifetime, then it's important to pay attention to that legacy piece, right? To live your life with some intention. So that is the thing that people remember about you. So that is the thing that at your eulogy or in your obituary or in the letters that are written to you, that you have presented yourself in such a way that people recognize that about you. You know, my beloved high school teacher, Nick Ferrantinos, who is probably one of the main reasons that I do what I do today. He's my journalism teacher, and he was an award-winning journalism advisor for 20-something years at Homestead High School in the Bay Area. And he changed a lot of people's lives, a lot of students' lives over the course of his career. And he's been sick for the last 6 months. He has cancer, and his prognosis has not been good. And the thing that's so fascinating is that a group of his students have came together and put together a book of all of the memories they had of him, of how he's changed their lives, and a living eulogy, basically, that he received. And it's, you know, hundreds of letters and love. And I thought, what a powerful gift to give someone who gave his life to nurturing others, to nurturing his students, to making their life feel like it's something important, recognizing things that are important in his students and helping them capitalize on that. And to have all of these students over, I think it was like a 20-year span, send in these words of love to him while he's still alive is such a powerful thing. And I'm looking forward to talking to Nick about this experience, because I wonder if the students have captured for him the legacy that he wanted to leave behind, or if he is being remembered in these words in the way that he wanted to be remembered. You know, did he live his life in such a way that people looked at him or saw his life or saw what he did and got who he wanted to be? So that's my first question out to you today. Do you think about your legacy? It's not something that we usually have around the dinner table conversation, or that's on our, you know, list of chores that we're supposed to do day in and day out. But I believe it is important to think about that legacy. How will you be remembered? What will you be remembered for? Because if you're not living your life in a way that supports how you'd like to be remembered, then maybe it's time to rethink your day to day. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And we do gather every Tuesday from 2 to 3 to talk about what is going on in our lives, usually revolving around mental health and well-being in some way. And it's a deep well. There's a lot of ways that our lives are impacted by our mental health and well-being. I would say fundamentally the quality of our life is impacted by our daily mental health and well-being. And so we always like you to be part of the conversation, 805-781-3875. You can also find out more about the show on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. Listen to previous shows by visiting the kcbx.org website under News and Talk, Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Or you can check out iTunes and podcast the show. You can subscribe to podcast our show and get all of the shows every week on your device and be a part of it that way. But we always do look forward to the one-on-one conversations because they're important also. That's what makes radio work. The other thing that was on my mind today, one was about the legacy and what we're leaving behind. But number two was a follow-up to the conversation last week about our work life, and how is it that you approach the career that you have or the work that you have or the job that you have or however you call how it is you bring in resources to your family or to your life. And we talked briefly about the three orientations people tend to have about work. Some people have a job orientation where they see work as a means to an end. You know, they're just getting the job done and it doesn't take up their life. They work so they can live. And some people have a career orientation where they focus on the elements of their work that will bring them prestige or success. They value moving up the ladder. They feel good about that when they look back on their life. Or some people have a calling orientation where they see work as an integral part of their lives and identity. They view their career as a form of self-expression and personal fulfillment. And when they look at the statistics of how people work, it's pretty much divided in equal into each category, that people divide up into different areas. And we talked a lot about the calling type of orientation where we just feel compelled to do something that matters or has meaning in our life or it's going to shape us in some way. And I would think a lot of times that calling orientation would lead us to work, live to work. But I sometimes think that I most admire those people who have chosen their job as a way of being committed to supporting their family or supporting those things they value in life, that they do their job and they do it with commitment. They do it with grace, but they're really just working to support and afford the life that they love and for their family. And I sometimes wonder if there isn't almost greater value in that in some ways. So I wanted to revisit that a little bit and wonder how that fits into your legacy or how you view your life journey. 805-781-3875. Claire, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I would hope that I'd be remembered as kind and somebody you could count on in a crisis. But I think Hank really hit on something when he said he wanted to be known as a good person. Mm-hmm. Most of us know our flaws. You know, maybe we're a pessimist or maybe we speak before we think. I know those are things that for me are struggles. But you don't broadcast the flaws you're working against. And you're trying to get to a place where you feel good about who you are. And so you're not settling to be a good person. You're aiming to be a good person. And I think that Hank has really hit the nail on the head for what we're striving for in a quiet way, to be somebody we like.
And do you feel like the way you live your life on a daily basis is taking you towards that goal of how you'd like to be remembered?
I do. If at the end of the day you can look back and you can say, I made things better for something or someone, then I think you fulfilled your purpose for being on this earth.
And so
I try to do that every day.
And you're on your way. Claire, thank you so much for taking the time to call. So doing something every day that brings us closer to the way we'd like to be remembered, maybe that's a good mantra for how to approach the new year. 805-781-3875. Hi, Bob. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Elizabeth. Usually I find myself in concert with what you have to say. Today, I would like to offer a contrarian point of view.
Bring it.
I believe that it is important to do your work without attachments to the fruits of your labors. That's a rather Eastern point of view, but I think if we focus on what people are going to think in a long time rather than on the task at hand, we are distracted. It's important to focus on what you're doing, do it the way you believe is the right way to do it, and move forward.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, so if I'm hearing you correctly, then your feeling is that if you're living your life with intention for yourself, that the legacy will be what it is, and it won't matter that you tried to orchestrate it, because that won't be important.
It is not that you're living it with intention for yourself. It is that you are living it with intention to achieve the task to which you have set yourself. Mm-hmm. And you are not focused on the goal, but on the particular work. And, you know, I hope that after, you know, look, in the long view of things, my life is minuscule. The whole earth is minuscule. None of this has any real matter in long-term reality. So, you know, how I'm remembered is immaterial. What matters, if anything matters, is my interaction with people and events. Have I done something now that is positive that makes a difference?
And so what is it that you're doing now that makes a difference?
Right now, I am talking to you on the phone.
Yes.
Sharing a point of view that I believe has value, that I think is much more valid than focusing on the outcome. Focus on the process. Is what you're doing the right thing, not how will it be regarded?
I appreciate the instant moment, but I'm just like on a grander scale, is there some work that you're doing that you feel connected to and purpose with at this moment?
Not in particular. I have gone through some health challenges, and my biggest goal in the last couple of years has been not have to declare an emergency and wind up being an imposition on others, you know. Mm-hmm. Sleep warm and dry at night and keep on moving. And I've been able to achieve that. When I'm feeling better, I work as I volunteer as an instructor, where I help people to learn to accomplish things that they want to accomplish.
Well, and I wish you good health then, Bob, because I understand that when we are in a health crisis, it can take all of our focus and energy to be able to carry on. And I think that is an important and appropriate place to put all of your energy. And I always appreciate a contrarian view, because otherwise it's not a conversation. It's just my monologue. So thank you for taking the time to call. And if you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. I open the show talking about how we'd like to be remembered, for what we'd like to be remembered, who we were, what we did, and are you working towards that legacy that you want to leave behind? And I was talking a little bit about David Bowie's legacy and how he'll be remembered, and I'm wondering if he's being remembered in a way that he would have wanted to. Are people recognizing the things that he felt most proud of? And what are those things that you might be most proud of? 781-3875. Jeremy, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Basically, the previous caller got to my point a little more eloquently than I think I'm able to. I'm just hoping to to not be concerned with my legacy, because I won't be concerned with anything of this world. And when you leave this world, I guess, you know, you've left the world, so to speak. And your legacy is what it is, and it doesn't bother me what mine might be after I'm gone, because, frankly, I'll be gone. And I do think the previous caller said that better, but I've decided I do want to be remembered as someone who always had something insightful to say when he called into radio shows.
That's a lot of pressure, Jeremy.
I know. I'm not off to a good start either.
No, you're doing just fine, but it takes a lot of courage to call into a radio show, and I appreciate that, because I've called into a few in my lifetime, and I appreciate and have empathy for the sweaty palms and armpits that come up when you try to talk on the air.
Well, you absolutely make it easier. I'm a previous caller, and I've only done that. I've only called into your show, but I have done it multiple times because you do make it easy.
I'm glad, Jeremy. And I do want to revisit your feeling about the legacy, because if you heard me talking about my teacher from high school and how this outpouring of young people, or now we're old people, but you know, how the people who he influenced, I feel like there is a bit of importance in thinking about that legacy, because I just think how his life touched my life and how I've carried on now, hopefully to touch other people's lives. And even though we may not physically be there, we might go ashes to ashes and not exist, but our lives will have touched others. And so maybe legacy doesn't work for you. Maybe the word is, how will you have touched others in a way that they go, that influences how they go forward in their life? Does that change how you feel about it?
Well, again, I try to be conscious of that in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not a father, but I am an uncle to many, 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 many boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And I try to be conscious of how I might be influencing them. And I try to be a positive influence in the moment, but I don't concern myself after the moment so much, because I feel confident that I'm doing what I can do in the moment.
I appreciate that. I think that's well said, Jeremy. Very eloquent.
Thank you.
Enjoy your afternoon. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And if you're uncomfortable with the legacy idea, my other thought that I had when I was coming in to work and wondering what we would talk about today for this hour was one of the things on my bucket list, and something that my younger daughter has been sending me information applications on, so it's been in my mind, was the idea of TED Talks. And a lot of my friends, we talk about the TED Talk notion. And if we were given 10 minutes in the world's ear, or the world stage in some way, what would be the thing you'd want to talk about? What would you do with your 10 minutes? What would you like to share? So if you're uncomfortable with a legacy thing, although I still would love to know how people would like to be remembered, but you might feel just as comfortable talking about what would you do with your 10 minutes and how would you like to spend it? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation. And Judith.
Yes. Hi. Good to talk to you again, Elizabeth.
Hi there.
I have a somewhat unusual approach because I'm somebody who has thought carefully about this since I don't have children and I don't have grandchildren, and I kept getting, you know, hearing from other people that they're passing on their values and different things would be their legacy, mm-hmm. and I didn't have that. So last year I thought about it carefully, and I've been a nature photographer and a poet. So I self-published a book of my poetry and my photography with the help of a local press, and sent it to 25 of my best friends and my relatives, and I wrote a little introduction called In My Life and quoted the Beatles, et cetera. And I said, you know, this is what I'm going to share with you of myself as my legacy.
I love that. And how was the response from your friends and family?
Well, it was varied. People are unusual. They look at pictures first, let's face it. So they loved the photographs, and it reminded them of places they'd traveled, like Bryce Canyon and Lake Tahoe. And then it took them a little longer to get to the poetry, and some people liked the poetry that were the most personally revealing, and other people kind of shied away from that a little bit, particularly family members, since the poetry dealt some of it with family. But in all, I think people were really surprised and pleased to get it from me. And I, you know, now I feel there is a legacy, although even though I'm 73, I'm going to keep adding to it, of course. It's not over till it's over.
How does 73 feel for you, Judith?
It sort of feels like I don't belong in it, but you know, I was the tail end of the silent generation and the beginning of the baby boomers, and I'm kind of in neither one. But I'm pretty active, and I still get out and do a lot of things, so it doesn't feel that different than 63 at the moment. So I consider myself really lucky.
So I wonder sometimes if the whole idea of legacy, or what we'll leave behind, or how people will remember us, or what our obituary will say. Sometimes I feel like people are uncomfortable with that conversation because it's too hard to think about that time coming. And I wonder, at what age are we comfortable thinking about that time coming? You know, it's certain periods in history, maybe 73 would have been close enough to that time coming that you think about it. But I have too many friends that are vibrant in their 80s who, you know, are still creating the life here and not thinking about the post. And I sometimes wonder if it's easier to talk about the idea of an obituary or a legacy when you're in your 20s and 30s and it's far, far away and it just seems like a lark, right?
But well, I'll tell you the truth. I'd rather talk to people about my legacy than end-of-life care discussions, which have been difficult enough. I'd rather focus on, you know, the positive things, which would be my legacy. But as I've often pondered as a writer, should I write my own obituary? And I said what the previous caller did. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. It's for the other people, so let them write it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and... I'm not 73 yet, so I don't know what that viewpoint feels like. But is it really for, I mean, I don't know if an obituary is for other people to feel sad and to mourn, or is it for them to connect once again with that person? You know,
yes, I think the latter for me. There was an obituary last week of a woman named Marilyn Stein who gave a lot to our community. And I didn't even realize how much she had given. You only know somebody often in one aspect. Mm-hmm. And the obituary gives a much broader perspective. And I sometimes read them because the stories are so interesting.
Which is exactly what inspired me to do the show today, because I was thinking again about David Bowie and that we all know him in this one public persona way. And wouldn't it be fascinating to know all the other facets of his life that he cared about? You know, maybe he was a stamp collector, or maybe he cooked an incredible quiche, or, you know, just adored playing with kids. Like, those are things we won't know because his memory or legacy at this point will be about that public persona. So that's what inspired the conversation for me a little bit.
Well, I think it's a great topic, so thanks for bringing it up.
Thanks for calling in, Judith. Enjoy your afternoon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, the conversation today is a little spur of the moment because I had a guest that we were hoping to have in today, Nancy Siegel, who had car trouble and wasn't able to make it into the studio. So I hope, Nancy, that you are safe and sound and ready to come back up another time and talk with us. It's going to be a wonderful conversation about self-determination and being able to be our own advocate and learn how to care for ourselves. So I'm excited for that topic when it comes up. But reframing today's show, I started thinking about our legacies and how we'd like to be remembered. I wanted to go back and revisit a little bit about job orientation, career orientation that kind of links into the idea of legacy. And how is it that you approach your work? Do you see it as a job that you do just to feed the family? Do you see it as your career identifies or defines you in your life? Are you working to gain prestige or success or different rungs up the ladder? Or are you someone that has a calling for what it is that you do, that you couldn't imagine doing anything else but that? And how does that influence how you live your day in and day out? You know, do you see work as drudgery? And the way it kind of links in with that legacy is we spend a good portion of our life in labor in some way. And when we get to a certain point where we're looking back over our lifetime, will you have spent your time in ways that you feel good about? 805-781-3875 is a number to be part of this conversation today. And my last thought, and I've got three things, so I'm really curious to know what's on your mind. My other one was, if you had 10 minutes and the world stage to do a TED Talk, what would it be on? Because I think about that a lot. And as I said, because my daughter, Kelly, you know, sends me the application, goes, do this, Mom, do this. And it makes me anxious thinking about that. But I have ideas. I would love to talk about the idea of service years and how important it is to our mental health and well-being. And we're going to talk about service years in the next few weeks and how important they are. I'd love to talk about what I think about each week, which is our mental health industry and the fact that when we talk about mental health, anything that has to do with an industry, we should be concerned with. And so those things that make me reluctant in our mental health. I'd love to talk about happiness and what a trap it is and how it can send us down the rabbit hole when least expected. I have a lot of 10-minute ideas that I would love to share, and I'd love to hear yours. 805-781-3875. You can also be part of our conversation each week on our Facebook page. You can like the page and get updates on shows, and once in a while I'll post pictures of what's happening. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can check out our website, TheReluctantTherapist.com, and you can always listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, or if you're tech savvy, you can go to iTunes and punch in The Reluctant Therapist, and you can subscribe to our podcast and get them each week. 805-781-3875. Hi, Craig, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, you threw up the idea of a TED Talk,
yeah,
and I thought about a couple of topics if I was to do that. And one would be on the subject of just being present in your life. Because I think that's essential to living life, rather than thinking about what you've done or what you're going to do. Those are important, but being present in your life is, I think, vital.
And what would be your ending word of wisdom for people?
You mean on that, as far as being present?
Right, at the end of it, because there's always that catch, right? That phrase that people take away and then they put it under your picture at the TED Talk. You know, Craig's main point was, you know, I don't know, something that you would do each day to, because how do we stay present? Because I love the idea of staying present in our lives, and we talk a lot about it, you know, staying focused, go with the flow, don't think of past or present. But being in the present is incredibly challenging. So what would be your trick to help people do that?
Well, I guess I would take that little idea and say it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult to be present. It requires a little bit of work, sure, because we, I think a lot of people worry about what's coming up, or they're afraid they didn't do the right thing in the past, and so they're always stuck in those two places, and they're ignoring the smells, the sights, the experiences that are happening right now.
So is there a... You know, because in my work as a therapist, I address this issue, and I'm always trying to help my clients to find that cue, right? That tool they can use to pull them back to the present when they start to get sucked into these other directions. And so,
a tool
that they use. Like there's when they feel themselves starting to drift, there's like taking a breath and closing your eyes to bring you back to the present. Or some people might, you know, have a stone in their pocket that they rub to kind of bring them back to the present when they start to feel anxious or, you know, stretch out. So I just wonder if you had a tool, a nugget that helps you kind of pull back to the present.
Well, I guess since I'm very sensitive to sound, I would suggest that just pay attention to what is the sounds around you. Is there a bird chirping? Is there a train passing by? Is there a waterfall? And that gets you right into that moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Ted, I always called you Ted, Craig. See, Craig, you're already halfway through your TED Talk, so you should go online and check out that application. I'll have my daughter send it to you.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Maybe I'll post the application on the website so people can check it out, because I think everyone has a 10-minute story to share.
I never really knew what the process was. I think they had, didn't Cal Poly host some TED Talks a year or so ago here?
I don't know. If they did, I wish I had known more about it. But there are regional talks, and I think there's an application process. I will look more into it, and I'll put it up, and you can check it out.
Okay, great.
Thanks for calling in, Craig.
All right, thanks for the time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of today's conversation. I've given you a couple different areas to chime in on. Love the idea of the TED Talk. So, Chris, you know, you sit there and you produce my show, and you are so wonderful to nod and smile and give me encouragement when you're in the booth. But do any of these things spark an interest to you? Do you think about a TED Talk? Because you're kind of a quiet radio guy. Is there some burning passion you'd want to share with the world?
Yes. However, I can't be confident that my insight would be somehow any more insightful than the people who are up there. If I knew that I could contribute something new, I suppose.
And I don't know how many new ideas there are. Give me the one that burns in you most that you'd like to have your 10 minutes on.
Oh, dear. Give me 2 weeks to mull this over obsessively, and I'll get back to you.
I'll give you 2 minutes to answer that phone call, and I'm coming back to you.
Deal.
All right. Garland, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
You know, I just want to say it's not that important.
Wait, can you turn down your radio, Garland?
What you do in your life is what's the most important.
Garland, can you turn down your radio? Because I hear myself twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll turn down my radio.
Thank you.
Okay. But my key is that it's not what you do in your life that's so important. It's what you do for others. And whether you recognize it or not, it does not really matter because you have done what you wish to do. That's the most important in life. And that is helping others. In helping them go through the things that they're going through. And whether we're recognized later or not, it's not important. Because you did it because you cared for one another.
And
that's what I wanted to say.
No, thank you, Grant. I appreciate that because clearly I'm getting a lot of pushback on the same types of calls of it not really mattering. But I have to be honest, I will continue to disagree with all of my dissenters because I think that it is important to think about how our behavior is impacting others. And yes, we'll do things because we just want to do it. I mean, there might be people that are doing things because they want to be remembered in certain ways. I understand that. But for a lot of people, they are doing things because they feel compelled to help others or to be of use in this lifetime. But the only reason I bring up the legacy piece is to help us stay in the present and to pay attention to the choices that we're making in our lives in the present right now. And are the choices you're making right now in line with how you would like to be remembered at the end? And that's the only reason I bring up the legacy point, less for the ego strokes of, you know, people saying great things about you, but more for a tool for helping us to be focused on what we're doing right now in our lives. How are we living our lives in this moment to help us accomplish who we'd like to be in this world? And I think quite often we don't pay enough attention to the choices we're making in our day-to-day lives because we think we have a lot of time, or we think we have, you know, a lot of different areas to go, or we believe that what we have to say or what we have to share may not be important enough for a 10-minute TED Talk. But my thought is that if we think about the legacy, it's going to help us be more intentional in the present.
Did okay. I
win you over?
I understand what you're saying, but I still disagree with you.
All right, well, that's fair.
The key to it is this. When one gives unconditionally. And in giving unconditionally, they are not actually wanting to want the recognition of them giving. They are giving because they care for our society and what's really happening. And that's a true gift of giving.
I agree.
And that's my point.
Well, I appreciate your point, Garland. And I guess we will have to happily, in polite conversation, agree to disagree and find value in both of those perspectives because I think we're both singing the same song, just from different branches. But I appreciate you taking the time to call in. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation today. I laid out a few different areas to go. What would your TED Talk be if you had 10 minutes? How do you feel about your career, your job? What is it that what role does it play in your life? And the other one that now I'm a little nervous to throw out there is, how do you want to be remembered? What is your intention in life to leave behind? What is that thing you'd like to have been known for? 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And Rochelle, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm kind of winding down here. I'm semi-retired, and I've had a long life. I just wanted to mention that my true love in life has been music and different forms of art that I do. I was never able to... I did have a musical career for quite a while, but I had to always supplement it with a different kind of career that maybe wasn't my true love, but... because of financial situation, I didn't always make the kind of money I needed to make in the musical career I had. But I just wanted to say that what kept me going and what may help people, too, if they're not happy in their career, because not everybody is. Mm-hmm. Some people have to work for the money, even though they might not be doing what they like. If you can just find time in your spare time or whenever to do what you really love, and that's do your music, do your art. And for kids that maybe are bored or don't have things, learn how to play a musical instrument or take a class in painting, because those things really help you through your life when things get down. You were talking about how people talking about keeping in the present and things like that. Well, I've always found that when I pick up my guitar, it takes me right into the meditative state and all the cares just slip away. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Rochelle. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it was the thought I'd had, and I don't think I articulated it, was that there, to me, there feels like there's a little entitlement or privilege when it comes to career choice, that when we even can talk about career choice, for many, many people, that isn't a conversation. You know, for many, many people, they're just trying to find work so that they can survive. And so that,
right.
And given that reality, what you're saying is, you know, in order to live a life that feels of high quality, to find those passions, to make time for them. And I think if we are in a situation, you know, where we're having to work just to survive, it can take the wind out of our sails to pursue
exactly.
any other passions, right? We can feel so
exactly.
defeated.
Yeah.
And so I think it takes a lot of...
But there's always, you know, there's always a little bit of time, even if you're working two or three jobs,
right.
which I've had to do sometimes, there's always a little time to just get away and do that little passionate thing that, and I'm speaking to kids especially, because they think, well, I don't have a passion. Mm-hmm. You know, some kids say that. They don't know what they like, or they don't have something to do, and they're bored, and thusly they become depressed or unhappy, whatever. It's easy to find a passion. I'm just going to put it out there. There's lots, now with the media it is and the internet, there's lots of teachers out there. You can learn. You can have your own private teacher teach you how to play three songs on the guitar. You can do it in a week, and that'll open up a whole gate of that you can walk through. That's all. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but
no.
I guess I'm done. I don't want to keep going on.
Well, I appreciate you. No, I don't. I appreciate you calling in. And look, you're already on your way to a TED Talk yourself, Rochelle. And I appreciate you kind of reminding us about the passion for music. 805-781-3875. Thomas, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes. Can you hear me? I'm using a speakerphone.
You're doing great. As long as your radio's down, you're doing fine.
Okay, perfect. Well, just talking about, you know, I think you make a fantastic point. You know, part of intentionality is knowing where you're going, whether that's in a relationship or your life in general. If you have a direction, then it's a lot easier to be intentional. And I hear and I understand absolutely and agree with what some people have said, you know, being in the moment, and I absolutely agree with that. But I do want to, I don't know, for lack of a better word, validate, I mean, just what a great idea it is to have something to leave behind in the way of, you know, what do I want to leave my daughter or my wife, you know, because that's huge. And I think ultimately, yes, you know, we can be in the moment, but to have that in the back of our mind even, you know, am I really, like for me, I want to, I guess love would be a big legacy that I would love to mm-hmm. leave to my daughter and hopefully my wife. I think, you know, and just having, you know, in this conversation, is what I'm saying, is that showing them love? Is what I'm doing in my action showing them love? And is that ultimately, is what I'm doing going to bring that kind of legacy that I really hope that they can remember me by, and, you know, maybe even use that as a platform to grow and treat others? You know, so I guess that's my two cents.
I appreciate the two cents, Jesse, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in with it. And I'm, something you said struck me, because I think about men and maybe the traditional male role in our culture. And for so many men, you know, their role is providing for the family. Even though things have changed and men and women are both working equally and, you know, our society has changed, if you still look at the traditional way that men look at their role in culture, it's kind of that provider, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Protector, provider, caregiver. And so I wonder often for men, you know, who have to work or choose to work 70, 80 hours or all the work that it takes to build a career because you're wanting to leave behind for your family, you know, the financial security that you feel really lets them know how much you love them, that one of the things I think has been a struggle for many men is at the end of their life looking back and saying, wow, was the time I put into my career appreciated by my family or was it worth it? Or, you know, should I have pulled back and done more of the caregiving? I think that's a dilemma. And again, something worth thinking about now so that we are intentional and we don't get to 40 years into a career and say, I should have spent or wish I had, or maybe to be able to look back and say, you know, the time I spent supporting my family, and I think of my father and I think of my husband, you know, they've left an incredible legacy of comfort for their family. And that's irreplaceable. So to know what we value and to be conscious of where we're going with that.
Absolutely. Holy cow. That's right on the money. In my experience, you know, my wife and I had a big discussion about, you know, should I take this job offer, move up, and then be working so much overtime I don't see you guys, and then we can buy a house early on? Or, you know, do I take less pay, but I'm present and I'm available? And, you know, I absolutely agree, you know, in what we had both agreed and what was really on my heart ultimately was just to say, you know what, let's wait on the house, you know, because that is the legacy that I want to bring. You know, my daughter and my wife is, you know, I was there, I was available. And, you know, I sacrificed in taking promotions and demotions in order to balance, you know, what I want for them ultimately.
Thomas, thank you for taking the time to call. You made my day. Continue making those wonderful choices for your family. And I look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We've been a little all over the place today, but kind of a central theme is what is it you value? What is it that you're working towards? How do you spend your day-to-day, whether it's with your career, with your family, a legacy that you're building? You know, what is your intended efforts shooting for each day? 805-781-3875. Jesse, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to call you about both kind of a combination of legacy and the TED Talk idea. And if I was going to give a TED Talk, I would give a TED Talk on something that I think some people would think would be a shaming item. It's about divorce. I've been divorced 3 times, and I have to say I'm very happily married now. But I would give a TED Talk on the wonderful power of divorce. I think divorce allows somebody to really reinvent themselves and to be powerful and to be intentional and to, you know, make an agreement that, hey, this isn't working and I can do better and I'm worth more and I'm going to move on with my life. And I think that's a really powerful thing.
It would be a thought-provoking TED Talk, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that most people, there's a lot of shame in society that, you know, you're, at least, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s, you know, you get married to one person and you stay married forever and everything's supposed to work out. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And instead of carrying the shame, I think it's really important to recognize that life is it's short, but it's also long enough that you want to be happy and you want to make the most of the life that you have. And sometimes that means reinventing yourself and moving on.
So how does that relate to the legacy piece then?
Well, I think the legacy part is, you know, I've grown children now and that I had in my prior marriages, and they're adults and they're making their own decisions about whether they're going to get married or not. And I think that the legacy that they have for me is that they have a really strong mom who
who demonstrated to them what a strong woman will do and stand up for a strong woman that'll stand up for herself and for her kids and to make a great life for everyone around her. And I think that's the legacy I leave with that choice of divorce and moving forward.
Well, I appreciate you speaking your truth, Jesse. I really do. That takes a lot
it's
of courage.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
It is a hard one because it's so counter to my experience, but I appreciate that you can own it because I think that's what makes a good TED Talk and a good conversation.
All right.
Thanks
There's
for sharing it.
There's a lot of people like me out there. So
absolutely.
I think it's a good thing. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. 805-781-3875. Bruce, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I'm a poet, and I've been published about 20 times in poetry. And just getting back to the artistic legacy, mm-hmm. I think what people need to do, one of the things you have to do is you have to try to find a good teacher. Mm. And you have to listen to that person. And the other thing you have to do is you can't give up. You have to realize that at the beginning, you're going to suck. And it's going to take a while to become good at something. That's why we're not all David Bowie. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why, you know, so you really have to persevere. I look back at my poetry when I first started in the first 2 years, 3 years. It was awful. It was terrible. But I was finding my way. And that's what I think. No, everyone's afraid to be mediocre. Everyone is afraid to be bad at anything. Hmm. So you've got to take the process. If you want to leave an artistic legacy, you've got to take the process and you've got to realize it, especially if you've had a career. You're going to be crawling at first, and you might be in your 40s or 50s, but you're going to be crawling at first, and then you're going to be walking, and then you're going to be running, hopefully. But if you want to leave a legacy, you have to hang up your phone, you have to turn off your television, and you have to not be afraid to learn something to become good at it. You can't be afraid to learn how to master your craft.
So, Bruce, at the end of the day, what do you hope your poetry will say about you?
I guess going back to what the last person said, that I was present in my life, what it's doing is it's just opening a window into my mind, into my experience. Hmm. So I, as a poet of this era, I am representing my era with my poetry. I'm representing my era with my writing. So what I really want to do is I want to communicate effectively the experience of being alive in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond.
Hmm. A glimpse of your soul and your experience.
And a time capsule mm-hmm. of the time at which it was written.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
You.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is Kathy. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Elizabeth. It's my first time calling in. How are you?
Thanks for calling in, Kathy. I know it's scary.
Yes, it's all right. I'm a mother of four and a coach and a campfire leader, and I've been doing a lot of talking in my life. But I had a thought that I wanted to share regarding the TED Talk. And we belong to a flip generation, of course, sound bites and whatnot. And I'm a quote person, but I've kind of come to a place in life where I feel I could do a TED Talk without even giving it much thought. And what I would speak on right now is that where I am on my journey is the idea that I feel like all of us, each one of us is born with divine purpose mm-hmm. and pretty pure and innocent. Mm-hmm. And it isn't long before externalities begin to be slapped onto us, our ego, our superego, our id, and all of that. And I feel like at this place in my life, raising four amazing kids and working with young people, I see more and more the idea that I want to prevent externalities from being slapped on, and I'm working on ridding myself of my own to try to get back to that divine purpose, that pure place that we all are when we come into the world. And that's just getting rid of all the things that are put upon us in terms of expectations to achieve and to attain and acquire, and just really getting back to that place where we know and appreciate love and our inner light. And I'm trying to do that with my daughters, particularly. They're quite accomplished, you know, in college and high school, and I have an 11-year-old son. So I want to give that message as soon as possible to just be and express light, because we mm-hmm. all have it.
Beautifully said, and I love your passion for it. But I want to throw something sideways out to that thought, is that I wonder sometimes if we we have to go through the process of our life's journey to get to the place where we can shed all of those externalities and expectations and have the peace and the freedom to do that. That part of the world, the work of growing and living is to go through the years that you have to be productive and build a life and make connections. You know, that's part of the process of maturing is to go through those years of having to be productive.
That's so true. And you have children?
I do. I have two, 29 and 19. And I'm also,
and
I'm
so
a grandma
you know
now.
Then, it's like this feeling because I lost my mom 8 years ago and I just have this desire to have a conversation with her now and appreciate. I'm the oldest of my four sisters. I have two older brothers. But to be able to prevent my own daughters from having to, I want them to get there sooner, you know?
But
I want to gift them the idea of getting there before I got here. And you can't. You're right. They have to walk their own journey.
Yeah.
But I feel that if I can live it and model it now, I might be able to help them achieve that sooner and bring their light much sooner. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I appreciate that beacon of light thing because I think that's what you're saying is I want to be that beacon of light so that my children know where they're going. But it is also important to support all the years that they do have to do their journey, do their work, so they have get themselves to the place where they do finally get to have the moment that you're describing. Kathy, thank you for calling. And David, you get the last word today. What's on your mind?
Keep it real short. I just wanted to tie in mindfulness and legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of identity kind of going on. People talking about their mark and how, you know, they kind of exercise their way of moving through the world. And I just wanted to kind of add, I think for me, a good exercise in mindfulness and legacy is I just ask myself, what kind of person would I be proud of? Instead of thinking long-term, how would my family appreciate me or how would people talk about me later or even how would people talk about me when I leave the room? Because everyone's always going to talk about somebody. That's not as important as what am I going to do that makes me proud of myself, whether someone sees it or not, because I'm going to experience my mark more than anyone else. And whether it's something you do for yourself, like artwork, or whether it is giving selflessly, I think ultimately you have to be the person that you want to be proud of. And I think that kind of creates a form of mindfulness where you're always kind of looking into yourself and you have a lot of reflection internally.
You're doing a little Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, David. Maybe my reference was too obscure.
I think I'm a little too young for that. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, please YouTube it because I think it's what you're talking of is we first have to look to ourselves. Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. David, thank you for taking the time to call. Call again. As always, I appreciate everyone participating in this conversation today. Appreciate you going to another direction with me. And I want to leave you with a little bit of David Bowie's legacy and a song that means a lot to me. As it sat in the middle of one of my favorite movie, Knight's Tale. So we're going to go out with some golden years. David Bowie, thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett.
Why don't you show us all a dance of your country?
Taking you nowhere. Angel, come up, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
in walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine. Of a dream car 20 foot long. Don't cry, my sweet, don't break my heart. Do
doing all right, but we gotta get smart. Wish upon, day upon day, I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years. Taking you know.